Please be seated. For those of us living in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the coldest and darkest time of the year. And as we approach the winter solstice, which is coming soon, daylight is in short supply. The nights are long and increasingly cold. And I know for some, that lack of light, that increased darkness, can be a challenge. But I've also been thinking how it's not just the darkness in the natural world, but there's a kind of metaphorical darkness of the world that I think compounds this season, that can heighten the cold darkness that we experience in nature. And so I find it striking that in the midst of this darkness, we have lessons on this third Sunday of Advent calling us to rejoice, to live with joy. It's important, though, that we understand what that call is, because it is not the call to any kind of superficial joy. It's not about sentimentality. It's not about the kind of joy we think of when we think of the holiday season unfolding around us. It's something different. This is instead a deep joy that is rooted in the promise of God. The promise that God is with us always, even in the darkness. It is the promise that in these difficult times, God is with us. God will sustain us. God will deliver us. And so our hope is rooted in this promise. And that is the cause for us to rejoice, to know joy. And I want to be clear that this is not joy that is the same as happiness. We may not be happy. Joy is something different from happiness. Joy is actually not about emotions, about how I feel. Unlike happiness, we can experience joy even in the hardest times. Because Christian joy rests on that promise that God's love can and will transform this world. The promise that we are not alone in our trials. God is with us. God supports us. The cause of our joy, the reason we rejoice, is God's faithfulness. A faithfulness which sustains us and strengthens us, especially in our darkest trials. And in the midst of that darkest night comes John the Baptist, testifying to the light of Christ. Today's reading is from the Gospel according to John. And that Gospel tells us John the Baptist is sent from God and comes to testify to the light, the true light, the light which enlightens everyone, the light coming into the world. I wish we had started this passage just a verse earlier, because that verse says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The light to which John testifies is the light of Christ coming into the world as it is. The light of Christ shining into the darkness of sin and death. The darkest forces of this world are not strong enough to overcome this light, this strong love of God. There is no force on earth that can extinguish the light of Christ. So though it may be dark, the light of Christ prevails. John comes proclaiming the one who was present with God at the creation of the world. The Messiah is the Word of God putting on human flesh in the person of Jesus. John witnesses to the eternal Word, the Word that enters into human history, that lives in human flesh among us. And John prepares for the coming of one who shows us God, one who shows us the love of God, one who shows us how to love God our neighbor, ourselves, and creation. The one who teaches us how our relationships can embody the love of God, can incarnate and flesh God's love right here in human existence. The light of Christ has come into the world, bringing healing to our deepest hurts and disappointments, our deepest divisions and alienations. The light shines the love of God to all places of suffering, of alienation. And we who follow Jesus are called to gaze upon the world through this light of God's love. And it is by the light of God's love that we can glimpse how God sees. We can behold the creation as loved by God. We can see each person as a beloved child of God. The light shines into our very being and can cause fear to depart and can warm and guide us in the deepest darkness of our soul. Just as John is sent by God to prepare for the Messiah to come among humanity, we too are sent. We are marked as Christ's own through the waters of baptism, and in baptism we receive the light of Christ. And we are sent forth to proclaim the coming of the Savior, the light of the world. And so just like John the Baptist, we are called to witness to the light of Christ. We're called to be that voice crying in the wilderness of a world at war. A world full of horrific suffering, of death, of division and alienation. Just like John, we are called to witness to the light that is life. And we're called to walk in the strength of this light and reflect that light to the broken world. Just as John testifies to the light of Christ, so we are to do. And in that way, the light reveals Christ anew in this age, in this place. We're called to reflect the light of God's love to the world through our lives, through our actions, through our words. Everything that we do must proclaim the light of God's love come into the world in Jesus. Our epistle today from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians offers instruction in how we do this, how it is that our lives can embody God's love, how we can reflect the light of Christ to the world. This letter was written not all that long after the death and resurrection of Jesus, likely somewhere about the year 50 or 51. And the followers of Jesus in that generation expected that any moment now, Jesus will return. Jesus will come back in glory, and all things will be brought to completion. But as day leads to month, to year, to multiple years, increasingly there's this sense of, where's Jesus? And there's a struggle to live with urgency, to watch actively for the return of Jesus in glory. And there's another challenge for the church at Thessalonica. They're a newly formed community. They need instruction and teaching and mentoring. And so Paul, in his letter, is teaching them about their calling in Christ. And Paul offers the Thessalonians words of encouragement, and he articulates the Christian life to which they are called. Paul writes that those who follow Jesus are called to lives that are wholly devoted to God. And Paul calls them to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then Paul goes on to remind the Thessalonians not to quench the Spirit. I just want to tell you, we had quite a lively discussion about that phrase at discussion group. You really should come sometime. People uncovered meanings I hadn't even thought of those simple words. But anyway, Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, but to remain open to the Holy Spirit, to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the moment, to the spontaneity and even the surprise of God's activity. And to do that even when it may feel disruptive, when it may call them to do unexpected things. It is through the Spirit that God calls the church to newness, to recreation, to not resting in the status quo or living by nostalgia. The Spirit can come and shake things up. And this requires openness to the Holy Spirit's call. It calls from the community flexibility as God's people. And so Paul is teaching Christians that they should at all times follow the example of Jesus in living lives of self-giving love. And this love is demonstrated by nurturing and caring for one another, witnessing God's love in the world, being responsive to God's call in the moment. Now it's important to note that just like rejoicing, this love is not about emotion. It's not about how we feel about another person. It's not about loving those who love us in return. This love is actually a decision, an act of will. It is that resolve to care for other people regardless of how we might feel. This is love freely given without counting the cost and without expecting anything in return. This is love given even in that moment we don't feel like it. And this love is modeled on the self-giving love of Jesus come among us. It is that emptying love of God who enters into creation, accepting the limitations of God living as a creature in the created world, of God coming in human flesh, knowing the joys and the trials of human life. This is about the generous love of Jesus, who willingly goes to suffering and the horror of death on the cross for love of humanity. And so, like the Christians of Paul's age, we are called to embrace a complex kind of in-between time. Like those first Christians, we still live between the first advent of Jesus and the baby of Bethlehem and the second advent of Jesus at the end of the age. We live in a kind of tension of understanding how God wants humanity to live now, and also the reality of how our lives sometimes fall very short. And we live knowing that this world is not yet conformed to God's love. And so in this in-between time, we must be rooted in the love of God, embracing that tension of how God desires things to be now and the reality of how things fall far short of that divine call. We're called to remember God's intention for creation and to accept our call as instruments of God's love in this world, loving all, and especially caring for those who are sick and lonely and suffering, welcoming those who are forgotten and despised, caring for those, bringing comfort to those who are anxious and hopeless. And so the Advent call to us is to be rooted in the joy of God's promise that the darkest forces of this world, even the powers of war, of hatred, of evil, greed, of suffering and death, will never overcome the light of God revealed in Jesus. Though the night is dark and long, the promise of God's love will triumph. We will be delivered, and we are safe in God for eternity. And this is indeed great cause for us to live rejoicing, rejoicing in the promise of God's faithful love. And I think this Advent, more than in a long time, the world needs the hope on which we stake our lives. Just as John the Baptist faithfully witnessed that the light has come into the world and gave his entire life to following Jesus, may we do the same. Through us, may others come to know the hope and the promise of God's love. May we gaze upon the world through the light of God's love and reflect the light of Christ to others, that by our witness, by the witness of everyone who follows Jesus, there may in this dark Advent be the hope that God is at work even now, the promise that God will deliver us at the last. May the light of God's love shine to all places of despair, that the hope and the promise of God with us in the person of Jesus may come to all people. Amen.